The Innovations Podcast for Monday, July 3rd, 2006, coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, and welcome to the Kill Innovations Podcast. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. Before we get started, please keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone, and do not necessarily reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. In this week's podcast, we're going to discuss finding the best time of day for you to be creative, two, some ideas on how to be proactive and finding those ideas within your organization, and last but not least, the killer question of the week. So, get out those notebooks, put on that creativity hat, and enjoy this week's Killer Innovations Podcast. When is the best time of day for you to be creative? Are you a morning person? Do you wake up early? Or are you a late in the evening person? Or are you kind of that midday, wake up about noon kind of a person? Now, many of us have those traits. What I also find, at least in my own personal life, is that my wife and I are actually exact opposites, which does cause us a little bit of a conflict in just the day-to-day activities. But one of the key things is understanding your best time of day when it is best for you to be creative. Now, the reality is that even though you're a morning person, you're an evening person, most of us just don't know or haven't really tuned in to know when are the best times of day for us to be creative. Unless you're doing this day in and day out, writers, as you will note, have a very specific time slice that they will always be writing. So some of the more famous writers, such as King, for instance, he gets up in the morning and he writes until noon. He does that every day. Now, for those of us that are in the creativity field, some of us are and some of us are not that disciplined to be doing it day in and day out. If you're doing it day in and day out, you kind of get tuned in on when that best time of day is for when you're going to be the most creative. So if you don't know your time slot, let's do a little exercise. So let's map out this best time. So each time you're creating, so you're sitting down, you know you're going to go into this activity where you're trying to come up with a new idea, or you're just brainstorming, or you're doing more of a creative type of an activity, log the date and time and how long you're creative, and use it in your notebook. I do it in my Moleskine notebook. I'll put the date and time at the top of pages I'm working out on ideas. Now, after a week, go back. Evaluate the ideas, evaluate the sessions that you had, correlating it to the date and the time. Next, reevaluate yourself after 30 days. So the first time you do the evaluation is the first week. Okay, and you kind of get a little bit, you'll start seeing maybe a little bit of a pattern. Try to then use that pattern to find the best time slot. So if you're seeing activities where it's consistently a certain time of day, that you're being creative and your time slot is turning out some really good ideas, try to be creative in that time slot for the remaining 3 weeks of the month. Don't be so constrained to only being creative at that time, but start to focus in on the patterns that you're seeing and seeing if the quality or the depth or the amount of time that you're able to be creative at a sustaining length of time is better. So again, reevaluate for 30 days. You should see a clear pattern at the end of 30 days. That is if you're doing creativity every day. If you're only doing really a creativity activity once a week, it's kind of hard to get a pattern. And as you've heard me in the previous podcast, creativity is not a gift from God. It's not something that's bestowed on some and not on others. Every person listening to this podcast can be more creative. It's a skill, just like any other skill. You can learn it. You can practice it. And the more you practice, the better you will be. So here's an activity for the next 30 days. Be creative every day. Log that creativity and see if you can find the patterns on the days that you're most creative and a time slice that that fits into. Now you need to make this a priority. This isn't a thing where you can do it Monday and Tuesday and then skip it on Wednesday. You're not going to find the pattern. So make it a priority. Now, for those of you who want to cheat and want a one-size-fits-all set of guidelines, I'm going to give you some guidelines that I have found, and it's been published in other places, if you're a morning person or a night owl. So these are kind of the time slices that tend to work if you're a morning person or a night owl. So first up, let's talk through the morning person. Morning persons typically wake up about 5:30, 6 o'clock. First 30 minutes out of bed, let's say 5:30 to 6, not a very good time. You're just coming out of that sleep phase. 6 to 8 a.m. is the best time for being creative. 8 to about 12:30 is the best time for problem solving. 12:30 to 2:30 is a bad time. It's really a bad time to try to do any kind of a concentrated effort. 2:30 to 4:30 is really actually a very good time for problem solving. 4:30 to 8 is that's the time to rejuvenate. What I mean by rejuvenate here is this is the time when you're feeding yourself, your conscious and your subconscious. Reading, doing brain exercises, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, you got to keep active. You got to continue to exercise the brain. It's a muscle like everything else. Or you're doing some kind of other artistic exploration. Write that great American novel, paint a picture, play an instrument, record a song. This is the time you're doing this. It's 4:30 to 8 is this rejuvenation time, and it's critical because that's actually preparation time to feed your creativity. 8 to 10, bad for concentration. You're kind of winding down for the day, and then you're in bed by 10 o'clock. So again, for the morning person, waking up at 5:30, 5:30 to 6, not a good time. The best time for creativity, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. From 8 to 12:30, it's a great time for doing problem solving. 12:30 to 2:30, it's bad overall and very bad for concentration. 2:30 to 4:30, it's another good time slice for problem solving. 4:30 to 8, that's when you rejuvenate. You rejuvenate the brain. 8 to 10, that's a bad time. That's kind of you're kind of winding down for the day, and you're in bed by 10 o'clock. So that's for the morning person. For those night owls, waking up at about 8 o'clock, so 8 to 10 is really a bad time for concentration. 10 to noon is the best time slice for creativity. Noon to 1 is really a good time for problem solving. 1 to 3 is a bad time for anything that involves concentration. 3 to 6 is your rejuvenation slice of time. Now keep in mind that's reading, doing some kind of artistic expression, doing puzzles, brain exercises. 6 to 11 is a good time for problem solving. 11 to midnight is a bad time for concentration. You're winding down for the day. And bedtime is at midnight. So again, if you're a night owl, 8 a.m. wake up, 8 to 10, bad time. 10 to noon is the perfect time for creativity. Noon to 1 is a good time for problem solving. 1 to 3 is not a good time. It's not a good time, particularly for concentration. 3 to 6 is the rejuvenation slice. 6 to 11 is good for problem solving. 11 to midnight is a bad slice for concentration, and bedtime by midnight. So if you look at the morning person and the night owl person, morning, the best time for creativity is 6 to 8, and your rejuvenation slice is 4:30 to 8 p.m. For the night owl, your best concentration is 10 to noon, and your rejuvenation slice is from 3 to 6. Now, rejuvenating the brain is just as important as the creativity slice. Now, this may not be an exact fit for you. Now, however, it is interesting to note here when you look at this is that there's only 2 hours per day that are identified as good for creativity. Yet there's like 3 hours for rejuvenating the brain. So activities to feed the brain, you need to feed more into the brain than you actually are generating out as ideas and creativity. So it's that if you're not rejuvenating, if you're not feeding yourself, it's very hard for you to put out those creative ideas. But it is interesting to note that there's only 2 hours per day that are identified as good for creativity. So, are you using your best 2 hours? How do you find the ideas within your organization? Now, when I talk about organization, I'm not talking about just the companies you work for. Organizations can be things like classrooms that you're involved in if you're a teacher, nonprofit organizations that you volunteer your time at, networks of people in the same industry but may not be in the same company as you. So how do you find the ideas, to find the best ideas within your organization? Well, one of the most common ways is what I refer to as the electronic suggestion box. This is the process of people having a generic email they can send an idea to. Problem is that there tends to be no follow-up, and those ideas tend to fall into some kind of black hole, and the person submitting the idea never hears any feedback and eventually gives up thinking that that process even works. Next, you can do it by walking around. You can talk to lots of people. You can network. You can ask a lot of questions. Make yourself basically a pest in the process. But the problem there is that you may not find all of the ideas. You're only going to find the ones within your social network or within your 6 degrees of connection within your extended network. Or do you become proactive? Now, proactive means that you create a process that people clearly understand, but it clearly defines a step for people to be able to come up and submit ideas and understand what the process is once those ideas come in to the organization. Now, proactive is a key way to improve the quality of your ideas. Now, if you do the passive, what I would refer to as kind of the electronic suggestion box, on average, out of 100 qualified ideas, now this is not the raw ideas, this is ideas after they've at least gone through some basic sanity test, but out of 100 ideas, you tend to end up with like 2.5 commercial products out the other end of the pipeline. That's in a passive. In a proactive, out of 100 qualified ideas, you can get anywhere from 5 to 7 to 10 commercial products. So you see a significant improvement rather than just doing passive idea submission versus getting out there proactively challenging your people to come up with ideas and submit them through the process. So how do you be proactive? Well, the key about proactive is you need to have regular sessions, events, whatever the trigger point is for people to have ideas in. Employees come in and present. Let their passion, ignite the passion within your people, whether that's employees, of your company you work for, other participants in your network. And the key here is that out of those that are presented, a few will be selected and they become part of some kind of eventual release or have some kind of impact on the organization. Now, a lot of businesses do this in a variety of different ways, and I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. One is what's called the Yahoo Hack Day. Now, Yahoo has this, Microsoft has this, IBM has this, AMD, Intel, most of the high-tech companies, and that's the industry that I'm coming from, each of those companies have some kind of an event that is kind of a trigger point where employees come in and have an opportunity to present the ideas. Now, Yahoo does this in a little different way. One is that it's a 24-hour period, and basically all regular work stops. All of the software developers move into developing, going from idea to prototype within 24 hours. Then they're given 90 seconds to show off what they did in the previous 24 hours. Now there's trophies and little trinkets to give away. But more importantly, it's really around the bragging rights. You know, who is the hottest programmer who really came up with the coolest idea and did it all within 24 hours. And then ultimately, the dream of those developers is that that really cool idea ends up as a future capability within Yahoo. Now, that's a closed system. It's being used within Yahoo, and each, at least in the companies in the high tech. I'm not that familiar with companies outside of high tech who may or may not have a similar process. But within the high tech arena, this is a fairly common activity from the standpoint of having days, whether it's invent workshops or whatever they want to call it, but having some kind of a trigger point where employees focus for some period of time in the submission of their ideas to have those evaluated. Now, what another example that I'm going to give here is one in the open arena. Now, in the open arena, basically means it's open to anybody within who want to participate. And this one is called a Pekakacha. I'm going to butcher that. It's Japanese for peachy keen. It's basically for designers. It's actually an event that occurs in San Francisco. And basically for designers, and this is graphic designers, industrial designers, basically anybody what I would call the traditional creative fields, they get an opportunity to stand up before an audience, and they're limited to 20 images, and it's 20 seconds for each image. And they can talk about their work, the process they went through, whatever they want to say, for those 20 images at 20 seconds each. So it's basically, think of it as an open mic kind of a process where you can stand up, you can present your images, you can talk about them, and basically get a larger audience of people who are familiar with the work that you're doing. Now, in the company that I work for, we run sessions, what we call poster sessions, which people then can present their ideas on basically a single poster board size graphic, and they're given basically a few minutes to talk about what their idea is, and there's an evaluation process. In addition, we also hold an annual technical conference, and in order to be invited to present at the annual technical conference, then you have to actually submit a paper, and it goes through peer review, and the best papers get selected, both to attend. It's an off-site, 2 days, very nice hotel, for the technical community. But then you also have an opportunity to present your ideas to the senior executives of the company. And then ideas that come out of that quickly turn into products and services and new capabilities. And it's interesting because now I've been working with a number of other companies, non-competitive to the one I work for, and helping them set up their own technical conference within their own organizations to do the similar things. The benefits have just been amazing. So again, the whole idea here is how to be proactive. If you do kind of this passive, people submit their ideas or customers maybe send in a suggestion, or more likely it'll come in as a complaint. You possibly will mull through that and find it. But if you get active, if you get in front of your network, whether your network is employees, your R&D network of extended companies, and you bring focus, you bring energy, and you create some kind of a trigger date, a date for an event where certain decisions are going to be made, then all of a sudden people will muster up the energy and they'll focus their creative energies to generate ideas towards that date. If you don't have a date, there never is this impetus, there's never this sense of urgency for the generation of ideas. So whether those dates are reality or whether you have to artificially create these trigger dates, the key here in being proactive is you got to create some kind of a trigger, and you have to create some kind of a clear process, and you have to create some kind of a clear understanding in the minds of the people submitting their ideas on what's going to happen. They get an opportunity to present. They're going to get feedback. There's going to be a decision made by X date, and the results are going to be Y, whether that you win a prize, or potentially your idea is going to get a little bit of funding dollars from corporate so that they can continue to work on the idea. Whatever it is, be clear on the process. So again, proactive allows you to significantly improve the quality of your ideas, potentially allowing you to create that next killer innovation. One area of innovation that's getting a lot of attention lately is around geography. New geographies, emerging markets. You've heard in the previous podcast talking about BRIC or Brazil, Russia, India, China, Sub-Sahara Africa. Whatever the case might be, what are the geographies that your organization is looking to go into? And how do you leverage the success in one geography to go into another geography? So, in this week's killer question, I want you to sit down and identify two or three geographies that you're not in or that you're not being wildly successful. You may have a little bit of a presence, but it's not being wildly successful. Target two or three new geographies and identify the characteristics: average income, size of the middle class, average spendable income, GDP to R&D. Whatever characteristics you use for your industry, identify the characteristics for those new geographies. Now, step back and compare and contrast those characteristics with your core geographies, the geographies that you're being highly successful in. Is the income levels different? Is the amount of R&D, certain amount of infrastructure that your product or service may depend on? What are the characteristics in your core market? What are your core characteristics of these new geographies? And compare and contrast each of those. And then ask yourself this killer question: what characteristics of your product or service could you change for the new geography? What characteristics of your product or service could you change for the new geography? Now, right off the bat, you're thinking feature function. Can I drop this feature? Do they need that function? There are a lot of characteristics. Don't get hung up on that word. Think about all of the attributes of your product and your service and the entire value chain that delivers those capabilities to your customers. Things like size. One of the things in the consumer electronics industry in Japan is size. The average square footage for an apartment, for instance, in Japan is much smaller than the average square footage for an apartment in the US. So having these huge consumer electronics devices just don't work. So is size one of those characteristics? Design, how important is design of a product? The industrial design, the look, the touch, the feel for that geography. Is it cost? Is it just that the price, the willingness to pay for that price? Are there things you can do about price? Purchase method. Are people buying this? Do they have a distribution channel, stores, etc.? In one case, one company realized that they weren't going to be able to put their product in through the normal store channel, and so they went the vending machine route, particularly in Asia Pacific. Payment method. If you have a high-priced item and your geographies that you're in now have readily available credit, and you go into a market where the credit mechanism to extend credit to buyers just doesn't exist, what are some things you can do about changing the payment method? So keep in mind, it's not always about form or function. And it's not always about cheaper. It's really about understanding the market, the local market. You need to leverage globally, but you must always act locally. So again, this week's killer question is: what characteristics of your product or service could you change for the new geography? Features and functions, things like size, design, cost, purchase method, payment method, all of the attributes of the entire value chain that's used to deliver your product or service to the customer. What of those characteristics can you change about your product to go into that new geography? Once we've come up with an idea, the doubt begins. Is this really a good idea? Is this a stupid idea? This is probably the most common email I get from listeners who have ideas, but then doubt their own ability to translate this into a product or service. So this week's closing comment comes from Ray Bradbury. If you're not familiar with Ray Bradbury, he's a very prolific science fiction writer. Actually, he's my wife's favorite science fiction writer, who has constantly struggled with doubts about his own ideas and his own writing. When asked about his creativity and his personal enemies, what are his personal blocks that prevents his own creativity, he said, "Don't think. Thinking is the enemy of creativity. It's self-conscious, and anything self-conscious is lousy. You can't try to do things. You must simply do things." So are you thinking or doing? With that, thanks for being part of this week's Co-Innovation Podcast. Please send your feedback at podcast@killerinnovations.com. I look forward to all the feedback. I try to reply to every email sent. So if you've got any feedback or just want to send a note of encouragement, again, send that to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Also, don't forget to vote. It's now coming into the early part of July. And as many of you that are regular listeners know, that Podcast Alley resets the vote count to zero at the beginning of every month. So go out to Podcast Alley, or you can go to the killerinnovations.com website and vote directly from the website on the right-hand side of the page. Voting is the easiest way to tell the producers of your favorite podcast that you appreciate all the time, effort, and expense they put into producing great content that you get to listen to and enjoy for free. So don't forget to vote for all of your favorite podcasts. Also, we are getting ready to release the enhanced feed of the podcast for iPod listeners. Now, this only works with iPods. And basically, what one of the listeners has done is they've taken the podcast that I record, which I just record in straight MP3 files with a bunch of editing and sound enhancement that I do to try to clean up the audio, given that I typically am recording these from hotels all over the world. In fact, I'm standing in the Marriott Residence Inn in Atlanta, Georgia right now, recording this podcast. Well, what the listener has done is they've taken the podcast, my podcast, then they have gone in and enhanced it with chapter marks. So if you download the enhanced feed, then listen to the podcast, you'll actually be able to skip through each of the sections of the podcast. Now, the number one request we get is around the killer questions. So with an enhanced feed, you can actually skip directly to the killer question of the week and re-listen to the killer question. So if you're interested in that, go to the killerinnovations.com site. I'm hoping to get the button up there today before all of you listen to this podcast. If not, give me a day or two. I am traveling, so I'm working on this as fast as I can. We'll be catching up on the older podcast as best we can. So there'll be a separate feed for iPod listeners. Now, the normal podcast feed will release the normal MP3 file right away. There might be delays of a few days to a week or so on the enhanced feed. So if you're a regular listener, I would suggest you stay subscribed to the current feed. Don't change anything. Add the enhanced feed for that download, and then keep those feeds around as being the ones that you can then jump to, skip right to the killer question, or any of the other sections that you want to listen to. Okay? Also, you're going to note that I have made some changes to the RSS feeds. So we are now operating on what we call enhanced RSS feed. So this is not the feed for the podcast, but the feed for the content coming from the different websites. And what we've done is we've added some icons to the bottom of the RSS feed. So now you have one click to add Killer Innovations content to Delicious, Reedit, Dig, Newsvine, If you have other social networking services that you use that you would like for me to add the icon, let me know and I'll add them. So this allows you then just within the RSS feed, you don't even have to jump back to the website. You can just simply click that icon and tag and save and share that content within your social network. And basically, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to tag and share the content for yourself and for your social network. Also, we're going to begin working on a new promo for the Kill Innovations podcast. So between now and the end of August, you can send me either a script or an audio recording for a new 15 and 30 second promo for the Killer Innovations podcast. So this is your chance to get very creative. If yours is selected, we will award a prize. Now listen up, this is a very rare prize. What the prize is a set of Killer Question card deck. Now only one deck is in existence today, and this is mine. Basically, I have taken my killer questions, and this is even before I started the podcast. And this is what I use when I run my workshop sessions for both the company I work for, but also for other companies. And this is a deck that I carry with me. Now, I'm going to print a second deck, and that's going to be the prize for the best promo. So if yours is selected, you will get a set of killer question cards. Now, these come on index cards. They're just printed off my printer, so it's nothing really fancy, but you do get a card deck with all of the killer questions, or I should say most of the killer questions, because I haven't updated the deck in a little while. So here's your chance. So get creative and send in your promo for the podcast. Now, if you don't want to do the audio recording, you just want to write out the script, that's fine too. We will accept typewritten scripts. We will accept full audio. And again, we're looking for two, a 15-second and a 30-second promo. And in fact, what I'll do is I'll make two card decks available. So the person who comes up with the best 15-second promo and the best 30-second promo, here's your chance to win an entire deck of the killer questions. So again, get your creativity hat on. You've got between now and the end of August, so you've got 60 days to come up with the best promotion. Thanks for listening. I should be back in California for next weekend, so it'll be coming to you from Sunnyvale next weekend. Again, send your feedback, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.